and trying to establish feminist science where everybody is coming from. And we have broadened the scope of learning anything to include those who lost loved ones since the last time that a service like this in person. And since the service is all about memory, I have made it really easy for you to remember. There's only three things for you to remember: 2 points and one Bible verse. So I'm going to give you them now, and then you're going to do a wee exercise to get it from me. So the first one is we're going to remember the past, and the second one is we're going to appreciate the future. So let's do that. We're going to remember the past, and we're going to reshape the future. And the best that we have comes from the Bible in the Old Testament. And it says, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. So this time, when we do the movement, you're going to look at your hand and imagine your name on it. Remember the past, reshape the future. God said, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. Let's start by singing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Let's start to the first one.
Thank you. he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, all faultless and stand before the throne.
Thank you. That hymn was chosen by this girl who lost her father and her brother in London. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you always welcome us when we turn to you. Whatever our situation or mood, you listen and hear. Thank you for this special day that we can take time to reflect on those we have lost. Some who gave their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have, including our right to public worship, and some who were most precious to us. Help us to honour you and them as we meet today. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was picking up our almost 4-year-old from nursery, and he said to me, "Gran, the question is today yesterday?" Now, I remember walking to the ground for 19 years, and I was tired. But it was a reminder that time is a construct, and it bends and twists and shapes in all kinds of ways. And during this pandemic, time has seemed to stand still, and sometimes we feel as if we've lost about 20 months from our calculations. In a sense, yesterday is always with us. Fingertips of the past can weave forward present, and at the edge of every experience is recollection, that fear of an image in a big old mirror. Macbeth said at the end of his blood-soaked career, "All our yesterdays have light blooms, though to dusty death." Really stuffy. These are Macbeth's words, and lots of people can relate to them. They felt depressed and despairing during our COVID experience. But as Christians, our lives are not like that. We want to remember, but we want to see how we can cope when our memories are painful. We want our past to be more fruitful than Macbeth's displeasing words. So here is our strategy for today. Remember the past, reshape the future, and God has grooming on the palms of his hands. Right, we begin to get the memories going for us. We should hear.
Sorry, it's just, I may have to just switch off and start again. So just keep going in the meantime.
Okay.
Keep going, because this might take a minute.
Yes, Adrian, can you cope with moving on to page 2 of my program? No, I don't. He told me I've never been a PhD in any of this.
This service is about remembrance. Isn't memory the most amazing thing? We take it almost entirely for granted. Let's stop to think for a moment. You're listening to the sounds I'm making, matching them against your enormous internal vocabulary of words, recognizing the meaning, holding it all together for the end of the sentence so you can actually understand what I'm saying. That's seriously clever. Add to that your ability to recall thousands of people, events, places, facts, things felt at different occasions. Memory is one of the key aspects of being human. Who we are as individuals is held together by memory. Ask the events and emotions to exert huge influence over our lives and the people we have known and loved, and what they have taught us and shown us is a huge influence on our lives. It's so good to remember. Which is why it's such a difficult thing when our memory starts to disintegrate. My mother died last year at the grand old age of 93. She and I had a very good relationship, but in her latter years, dementia began to intrude. That progressed from an annoying tendency to repeat herself to a much more severe lack of understanding of what was happening throughout her. Now, I know that many of you have had to cope with those issues in your own families. Indeed, some of you have had to cope with them in a much more severe form than we did. And this is an issue that, for us all, will not go away. Why not ask when Betty comes to me that it should be practical? So let me give you a few reflections from my own experience. And let me start with the dementia bit, because that in itself is a kind of loss as parts of the person we know begin to diminish. The first thing is that we became our memory. We continually showed her pictures, we reminded her who her family and friends were, and of all the happy events that had occurred throughout her long life. Actually, I think we often perform that role for one another in church, helping one another in various ways to keep a sense of perspective. And when death does come, being able to see a life in its entirety with so much good to celebrate is always such a help. Dealing with the dementia situation required huge amounts of patience. There were comical moments, but to be asked the same question 16 times was excruciatingly hard to handle. A thought which I often found helpful was to reflect that this may be what it's like for God in dealing with us as we wander off and forget what we've been told 1,000 times before. Perhaps in some ways our situation is not so different. As conversation became increasingly difficult, we reverted to music. I'm an adult learner on the viola, so I would take it with me on visits, and Mum would sing along to Scottish songs, hymns she liked, tunes from her youth. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag was always a favourite. If I asked her for a request, she would usually just ask for the song I've just played. So here we are, that was rather disconcerting. But music has a remarkable ability to trigger memories. That's the basis for the group that's now called Time for a Song, which is dementia friendly. You'll have seen the yellow sheet. That's been running for 10 years, offering a welcoming and happy place for folk under the banner of West Dublin Church. Well done. In my mother's case, when death came, it was mercifully gentle. Did I grieve? The honest answer is, I don't think I did for very long. Because by the nature of things, we'd really been saying goodbye and grieving gradually over a period of quite a few years. When I asked whether there was a hymn that came to mind, hymns are often quite general in the language of worship God. That's great. But I did come across one which unusually used with a specific issue of dementia. It would have been good to learn it together, but I'm sure it will be easier if it's sung for you with the help of Lisa and Janet. It's called When Memory Fades. You might find the words a little sentimental in place, but they do honestly reflect the challenges of dementia, the patience required, and the bigger picture, the reassurance of the undiminished love of God.
And I speak of love, glory. It was a lunch going to be, I want
include all the triad member in the 10 items of development tree. I wonder what your strategy is. Yeah, that's a very good strategy. How many were there? Okay. And something, fingers on your hand, help you to remember. And the other way to do it is my favourite way, which is to make a reading story. Like in the morning, the first thing I do is read a book, and then I might well have a good break, and then I would go and clean my teeth. And then I would sweep and I would clean my teeth again and break up a wee scoopy like that, and that helps you to remember because our memories are notoriously tricky, except that there is one person who never forgets us, and that is God. And the reason for that is our names are written on the palms of his hands. Now, I actually did this myself and wrote it on my hand, and I was appalled at how long it took to get that mark off, even though you're washing your hands a million times a day. It's a really good way of helping you remember. And I suggest that at some point you all do that. Write your name on your hand. Every time you see your hand, that's why he chose his hands and not his feet, because you see your hands constantly. Think. God has my name on the palms of his hands. Fantastic. Good. Those who look after the Sunday school, please depart. And then 3 seconds later, over to the other. In preparation for this service, I wrote to I've lost someone during the COVID time, and I asked them if they wish to respond to me in any way that they chose, and I also gave them some questions if they needed help or not. And every one of them gave me their permission to use what they said and even to name them. And it's not surprising, there were some common features and experiences of those who believed. However, it turns out that her grief is as unique as her loss. Her heartbreak is a sign that love lasts and extends beyond death. I asked them what they found hardest. Oh, the burden of pain there. I'd like to see how I end on the grey world I now inhabit. How poetic is that? That was an artist who said that. The interesting that her world should become monochromatic. She lost. I have lost the rock, the street, and the next one. Three things to comment on me here. Donald said about Rhoda, do her prayers have a future value? He's brought up in the same sweet thing continuum that Sunny was the possible that Rhoda's prayers at hand still must work. Basket for me was having your knowledge back you. I made a bet with you. I'm sorry, I'm speaking in the language of the end, forgive me. If I made a bet about who in Scott said that, I bet you wouldn't come up with Martin Reed, but it was. Martin Reed felt very necessary, and sometimes I made a prophet, made a comment to me, he said, and I'm pretty sure my mum would agree with me. Well, that's fascinating. then slip away because this sort of sudden light what you need. Missing like salt and convenial. And the man who wrote that could spend a large part of his life in the kitchen that. Fascinating. Next slide. I asked him then what helped you, and top of the poem again became kindness. And since Angus introduced this to us a few weeks ago, it has been given a lot of meaning and there's a good reason for that. There was a clear difference, you can have the next slide about what they found helpful, between those who mourned someone at the end of their life and Kathy, whose life felt cut short. Those whose parents were old and had lived fulfilled lives had a good death. That was very important thing said, because some people knew their parents were going to die and say all the things they wanted to say, and that really mattered. I believe that he is God. Your eternal welfare is here. They are at rest, peace with your Savior. Next one. Talking about that was interesting to me. Sometimes we try and avoid speaking about the person who's gone because we're so frightened of the open wounds that cause pain. And yet, several people said that was something that really helped. I'm now going to read you a poem which was written by Joanna. And Joanna is the elder daughter of Kevin and Kathy Cope. She sent this. It's called The Five Stages of Grief. They say that grief runs in stages in the air, five of them laid out neat and clear, each arranged in a perfect sequence, designed to be a tidy experience. And once you've done, you just go on living, as if grief is an end you meet from a beginning. Instead, I find grief like a rushing river, which bends and twists, flowing over. Some days it's ripping, fleeting fast, while others, the angles yet they pass. Never the same from one day to another. Oh, the boat you are in, sleep on water. It is days of bittersweet, joyful memories, which lay atop a heart full of agony, as you tiptoe around the empty space where love used to sit with its smiling face. And both look toward, look away, the paradox of joy and sorrow each day. Instead of the lie of those four stages, I'd rather look towards the truth of these pages, that death is not final and loss not forever, that heaven has welcomed you, your race is over, that God's grace will keep you safe and sound, and one day I will join you. Let's then go to the book of this, and this is in memory of Kathy. Let's start.
Thank you.
And of course, there were support work networks within the church. Our pastoral group set up a WhatsApp group to share news, death videos, and have to tell you scribble speech and rather to read with our manatees in the verse, thoughts of the day, sense of belonging, source of inspiration. And they gave us the shape of the way instead of talking of itself. So there were good things, but there were a lot of feelings of hopelessness in them. And this year, what do we do in times like that? First of all, we need to remember. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Things of great happiness and celebration will all seem right to the world. God was in control and anything he achieved. Times of intense sadness when everything seemed to be on the you loved and pain and the situation was unendurable. Think back and remember God was faithful. He remembered us. We felt his nearness. We were aware of his love. We could not see a way forward. And yet, somehow, that difficult time was navigated and we will give them strength and rest in the midst of it all. Remember and take heart. His promises are that we're loved by him and our names are engraved on his hands. The message we have is that God is with us, not a distant remote God who sits on the margins of human problems, uncaring and uninvolved, but a God who cares so much about human suffering, he died for it himself. Remember too the witness we have of those we've lost, whose quiet lives shine undimmed and still have the power to move and inspire us. Theirs is a light that shines in the darkness. Reflect the light of Christ in quiet, faithful lives lived out in loving service to others. Our heroes of the faith. Of course they were in states. I can't imagine that would have been an ambition for either of them. But they were precious to us and their lives reflected God. Grateful for their memory because if we're not careful, the longer we live, the more fully and implacably we incarnate ourselves. Self preoccupation is at the root of our unhappiness. The door to happiness leads outwards. Just as we found strength and support in our groups, friends, and neighbours during lockdown, we can widen the scope and seek new ways of connecting with others. Reshape the future. Creativity can be forced on us when the old ways of doing things are barred. We can create an oasis of meaning in the universe by membership of our church and providing places for friendship, support, and encouragement in a situation of destabilizing change. We can be an agent of hope. When we are pierced by lightning strikes of peace, we can ensure that the power is passed on once it has been birthed within us. We were saddened when the cafes of summer came to stop, but the new way forward of lunches is the delivery of food and message and church prayers. Because God loved, and that has reached many who never came to church before. Now I'm going to move into time of national commitment.
I'm going to read a poem by a man called Wilfred Owen. It's called Futility. Move him into the sun. Gently, its touch awoke him once. At home, whispering of fields half sown, always it woke him, even in France. Until this snow. If anything might rouse him now, surely the kind old sun would know. Think how it wakes the seas, woke once the clays of a cold star, her limbs so dear achieved and sights full formed, still warm. Too hard to stir? Was it for this that the clay grew tall? What made fatuous sunbeams toil to break earth's sleep at all?
So far as I know, this poem by Wilfred Owen has not been read at the Roman service for a church or anywhere. The clue to that lies in the title, which is very stark and hard to keep. I have chosen it deliberately as I think the poem perfectly encapsulates some of the feelings of despair and hopelessness experienced during this pandemic. A soldier has died overnight in the trenches because of exposure. Notice how tenderly Owen views the boy and the despair that he has so recently died is limbs still warm, yet beyond the possibility of recovery. The boy remains on a note of despair that his life itself was a waste of time, his growing up was a waste of time, the fatuous sunbeams need not have bothered to rise, as they are powerless in the face of death. That is not the message of this.
very complicated feelings about the memory and the sufferings of war. Some of us have related to soldiers, some of us to conscientious objectors. Some of us would argue that the religious wars, where Christians are called to take a stand against forces in the world, and some of us point to the mess which has been created by ancient and medieval conflicts. Some of us question the worth of the sacrifices which have been made in the name of our country. However, I think we would all agree that the soldiers who fought for the freedoms we have are worthy of our respect, and we support the efforts needed to care for those who are harmed, damaged physically, mentally, or both. Let's do that now, please. They shall not grow old, as we let our flesh grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, he will remember them. He said. We have in our church a former soldier called Jim Carrick, and a lot of us have been very excited for Jim and have been up to date with his progress. I would like to pray for him now. Our Father, we thank you for Jim, for his life as a soldier and his faithful service to our country. We remember too his later life, teaching young people in the margins useful skills and boosting their sense of self-worth. We pray for him as he nears the end of this life on earth. We ask for freedom from pain. Give him a strong sense of your newness, a gift of peace, and for Ilsa, strength to continue to love and trust him to the very end. We trust them to you. Amen. Closing prayer. But we share so much beyond the outer roads we travel, our interweavings on a deeper level, the modes of life that embodied souls can share, the unguessed blessings of our being, the warp and weft that one can unravel. So I give thanks for our deep growing gains. In the web of God's own grace, pulling us through the grave and great death. I thank him for the truth behind our pain. I thank him for his light in every face. I thank him for you all with every face. Let's take 10 stand.
Idea because I have no control over the sound. I have no idea it worked before, but I decided that it was better not to fiddle and just to deal with it. It might not.